2 Corinthians chapter 9, verses 6 to 8. But this I say, he which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly, and he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Every man according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. May the Lord bless that reading of his word to us this morning. Thank you, Lord, for your word. Bless it to us, we pray. In Jesus' name. Paul's speaking to us about giving. And, of course, we often think immediately in terms of pounds, shillings and pence. Oh, no, sorry. Things have changed. Pounds and new pence. We're always thinking of money. And there is that behind this. But in a greater sense, God is speaking to us this morning about giving. Not just giving money, but giving ourselves, that we might serve him and glorify his name. And there's a principle of blessing here, which is exemplified in what God did for us.
Yes.
That verse which we all know so well says to us, for God so loved the world that he did what?
He gave.
God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God gave. And we can't think of any greater gift that could have been given for us. But the Lord himself should come from heaven, live on earth, suffer and die the death of the cross. He laid down his life for us, that we might be saved, that we might be cleansed from every sin, that we might be made fit for heaven, that we might be with him forever. And it's so neat for us today too, to think beyond giving money. You know, giving money can so often be the easy way of opting out of actually getting involved in anything. Somebody turns up at your door and they want to talk about this, that and the other, and maybe they've got an idea of collecting money, and you give them money and they go. They're out of your way. Giving money is the easy way of doing things. Paying something else to do it. But you know, the Lord wants us to give ourselves.
Yes.
To give ourselves. And it's so needful today that we can't see ourselves set apart from the work that the Lord wants to be done. It's no good going away with the idea, or we can pay somebody else to do it. God has called every one of us to serve him and to give ourselves for him. The Lord uses the illustration here in the scriptures of sowing and reaping.
Yes.
That if you sow sparingly, don't use many seeds, you're only going to get a small crop.
That's right.
If you sow bountifully, you're going to get a big crop.
Yes.
And the Lord's exhorting us, if we invest our lives in service for him, not just being content to come to church, sit down, go home, but if we invest our lives in service for him, we shall be wonderfully blessed. Praise the Lord. In Luke chapter 6 and verse 38, the Lord says these words. Luke 6 verse 38. Give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure. Pressed down. Shaken together. Have you ever done that little experiment? You're putting things in a jar, and you fill it to the top, and then you give it a good old shake, and, well, there's more room. And you put some more in. And the Lord wants to fill us.
Yes.
Give, and it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom. For with the same measure that you meet, withal it shall be measured to you again. As you give, there'll be more blessings than you can imagine. You see, it's more useful to the Lord for us to give ourselves to him than to give money and just think, well, that'll pay somebody else to do it. The Lord wants us to give ourselves. Here I am, send me.
Right.
Not send somebody else. Not pay somebody else to go, but here I am, Lord, send me.
Yes.
Here I am, use me.
Amen.
Romans chapter 6 and verse 13 says, yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead. We are living servants. Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2. I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Romans 6 says, yield yourselves unto God. There's giving involved. Yield yourselves to God.
Yes.
Here, Present your body as a living sacrifice, holy for the Lord to use, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's the encouragement. Don't be squeezed into the world's way of doing things. Don't be squeezed into the world's way of doing things. It's so easy nowadays to give money for somebody else to do it. But the Lord wants us to serve Him completely and wholly. Amen. Hallelujah. And we might choose what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There's a cry that goes out in Proverbs. And in Proverbs chapter 23 and verse 26, the Lord cries out, "Son, give me your heart. Give me your heart." The Lord wants you. He wants you completely. He wants you totally. He wants you wholly. Hallelujah. You see, people can give. They can give money. And in a sense, the church needs money. There are things to be paid for. But people can give money and churches be empty. Important outreach activities.
Yes.
Not supported. We gave that money. No, the Lord wants you. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Give me your heart, says the Lord. Let your heart be holy for God. Lord, what would you have me to do that I may give my life in service for you? What did we read there? 2 Corinthians 9. There's a spiritual law at work here. He which sows sparingly shall reap also sparingly.
Yes.
And he which sows bountifully shall reap also bountifully. Oh, let us invest our lives in service for the Lord. Giving our lives to the Lord. Lord, what would you have me to do? Lord, use me. What does the Lord love? He loves a cheerful giver.
Yes.
A cheerful giver. One who can cheerfully say and willingly say, Lord, I'm giving my life for you, Lord. Show me what to do. See, it's not only about money, but it's about time. It's about time. It's about serving. It's about getting involved.
Yes.
It's about praising. It's about worship. It's about outreach. It's about evangelism.
Yes.
It's about ministry to those that are in need. We can't spend our lives paying other people to do the work that we want to be done, that the Lord wants to be done, the work that we should be doing. I wonder whether the thought comes, I can't afford that. Not in terms of money, but in terms of my time, in terms of my effort. I can't afford that. Where would the church have been got in the days of the New Testament if the disciples hadn't been out day after day after day after day ministering the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, ministering the word of God? They were all involved. They were all involved. They were all together in one place on the day of Pentecost. And they went down in power. And if we commit our lives to the Lord, you see, so often with money we say, I can afford that, but I can't afford that. With our own time, we say the same thing. I can't afford to commit all my time to that effort. I can't afford to commit my time to that. But the Lord says to us, listen, if you invest your time, your effort, you will find that this spiritual law, not just a financial law, this is a spiritual law, will be real for you.
Yeah.
If you sow sparingly, you'll reap sparingly. If you sow bountifully, you'll reap bountifully.
Yeah.
As you get involved in the Lord's work, there will be blessing upon blessing.
Yeah.
And the Bible says here that as a man, every man according, this is 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 7, every man according as he purposes in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. That might apply in Paul's mind as he's writing this to money, but it applies also to our time and our effort and our involvement. And here is the promise that God gives in verse 8. When we start thinking, I can't spare that time. Many years' time, maybe when we said, I can't spare that money, but I can't spare that time. And I want to think this morning in terms of serving the Lord. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, so that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work, their service. And if you give yourself and commit yourself to serving the Lord actively, day by day, week by week, beginning each day in prayer, Lord, what would you have me to do? God is able to make all grace abound towards you.
Yes.
The things that you think you can't do, the things that you think are too difficult, too high, too spiritual, whatever it might be, the Lord's able to make all grace abound to you to enable you to do what he's called you to do.
Yeah.
And grace is God's gift to us of what we don't deserve. We don't deserve anything. But God in his grace makes all his love, his power, his authority available to us if we respond to him in faith. God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work.
Amen.
Feel unequal to the task? Getting involved in prayer? Getting involved in outreach? Reaching out to the lost? Getting involved in Bible study? You know, we live in a time when more and more Christians are getting less and less involved in the work of God. We don't want to be like that. We don't want to be people who are just people who go to church on Sunday and that's it. We want to be active for the Lord every day of the week, every day of the week, every opportunity to serve him. All may we awake to the call that the Lord is giving to us to come and to serve him. And if we move out in faith, seek the Lord, what does he want us to do? How does he want us to serve him? Say, Lord, here am I, use me. The Lord says he will make all grace abound towards you. That grace enables you to do what he's called you to do.
Amen.
And to see that work being blessed. The Lord wants us to abound, as he says here, in every good work. Abound in every good work. We will have all that we need. And Jesus is our example. Jesus is our example. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9, previous chapter, it says there, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. He gave himself to do wholly, completely and fully the will of the Father.
Yes.
Praise the Lord. It's his voice we can hear in Isaiah the prophet, in chapter 6. It sounds like Isaiah speaking, but it's the Lord as well, it's Jesus. Lord, here am I, send me. Lord, here am I, send me. Can we say that? There are needs all around us. There are unsaved souls in this area all around us.
Yeah.
Who's going to reach out to them? Who's going to tell them the gospel? Who's going to tell them the good news? As we pray, here am I, send me. And the Lord Jesus Christ, as we read that verse from 2 Corinthians 8, had that same attitude. Here am I, send me. Though he was rich, for your sakes he became poor, that you through his poverty might be made rich. Oh, what grace. What grace. And you can know the grace of God. In Philippians chapter 2, it tells us about the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. In Philippians 2, in verses 3 to 11, it says, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, things in earth, and things under the earth. And every tongue should confess,
Amen,
that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. What victory there is,
yes,
when we in humility give ourselves to serve God, as Jesus gave himself, to serve the will of the Father.
Yes.
To minister and to serve to others, and join together in fellowship with God's people. Oh, let us respond to that message in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. The Lord is calling us to give. These are verses about giving. And Paul might well have had in mind giving financial support. But giving goes further than that. It's giving our service, our willing to serve God. And God is able to make us those that will be a blessing to others. He's able to make all grace abound towards us. Do we want to see a spiritual harvest here in Pitsea? Do we want to see a harvest in our own lives of fruit for God? If we do, then we have got to give. Not just money. We've got to give our service. Here am I, send me. It might not be the sort of stuff we like doing. Who would naturally want to be nailed to a cross, beaten and bruised? But Jesus went that pathway.
That's right.
To do the will of the Father. And if we want to see a spiritual harvest, then there must be some sowing, and sowing of the right seeds, sowing of the word of God,
yeah.
Bringing it to the ears and the hearts of people around us.
Yeah.
And if we're going to give, then the word of God is exhorting us here in these few verses to give not grudgingly. Oh, I can spare a few moments. No, the Lord wants us to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Whatever it takes, however long it takes, give wholeheartedly. Not just money, but yourself, your service. How? Cheerfully. God loves a cheerful giver. There's no unwillingness. There's a readiness to serve. And if we do, then God will be with us. God will give the fruit that we seek to bring for his glory. God will give the increase. God will give the victory. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
What's the key that unlocks all that? What's the key that unlocks all that? The grace of God being brought to us. The grace of God to call us and to use us to serve him. And our response, our willing response. We want to sow that word of God for him. We want to see an abundant harvest. What's the key that unlocks all that? It is love. And it's faith. It's the obedience of faith. God calls us. And immediately we might think, oh, I don't think I'm up to that. I don't think I could do that. God calls us that we might respond to his calling in faith. If God calls us, he will enable us to do what he's called us to do. And that's how it works from the beginning. By God's grace, through faith. For Paul says in Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are you saved, through faith. And that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. God supplies every need. And I pray that as you read these verses again, verses 6 to 8 in 2 Corinthians 9, that you'll see beyond just giving money. It's giving everything, all that we are, to serve the Lord. And God says if we do that, he'll make his grace abound towards us, to enable us, that we might have all sufficiency in everything and abound unto every good work. May the Lord bless you and glorify his wonderful name in your life. And as you respond to that calling of God in faith, then surely there will be a harvest. Surely there will be fruit. Surely there will be an abundant fruitfulness. We don't live in easy times.
That's right.
Read through the Bible. Men of old, serving God, didn't live in easy times. But they were fruitful for God.